This is Upstate's Health Link on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, when it comes to getting high, humans are nothing if not creative. And a number of new synthetic drugs, opiate painkillers, and other substances have emerged recently as increasingly popular among partygoers and drug addicts. And some of these substances are alarming health experts as well as law enforcement officials. Well, here with more on this is Gina Marafa. She's associate professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University and a clinical toxicologist for Upstate's New York Poison Center. Welcome, Gina. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So there are a number of drugs on the street that we now need to be aware of and to avoid. And one of these sounds especially gruesome. It's a flesh-eating drug called crocodile. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so crocodile actually first was used and discussed in Europe and actually has been used particularly in Russia for some period of time. And we've been tracking and following the effects of crocodile here in the United States from the experience in Russia for the past few years. People have been concerned a little bit about crocodile infiltrating in here in the United States. What it seems to cause is a lot of flesh eating and a lot of lesions on legs and arms that really can be quite gruesome and cause a lot of significant health problems to the user.
So what exactly does it do? Obviously, it probably gets you high because why would anybody use it?
It does.
Tell us a little bit. Is it smoked? Is it swallowed?
Well, generally speaking, it's injected. That's the general route of administration. It is an opioid, very similar to heroin. It's actually called desomorphine. It seems to be more potent than heroin, but along the same lines as heroin. Generally speaking, like I said, people tend to inject it. But there's also a lot of contaminants in the process of making it as well, and that probably is what's responsible for a lot of the infections and the skin infections that people in Europe and Russia have been describing since people started using this particular substance.
I read somewhere that it's this cheap derivative of codeine that's mixed with gasoline, oil, alcohol, or paint thinner.
That's exactly right.
It's frightening to think that people would be injecting that into their veins.
It's very scary, but particularly in areas where people are trying to use something like heroin, they're trying to make different substances to get that same effect. So that was how they actually derived it. And again, all of those contaminants in there is probably what's responsible for the severe skin infections that people are seeing.
I actually read somewhere that they actually have amputated limbs and people have had varying degrees of brain damage as a result of using this. So it's pretty serious. Even people who are no longer addicted to using it still can go on to have all these problems with it. So it's a pretty frightening drug.
It is very frightening. It really is. And I do think that it's something that we need to at least know about and prepare about here in the United States. But luckily, though there has been some media discussions here in the United States about potentially crocodile being here and people using it, there have been no confirmed cases of crocodile in the United States. A few weeks ago, people were talking that there were some cases of intravenous drug users having some severe skin infections. So people thought that perhaps maybe that was crocodile. And it's probably more when you inject drugs, there's a lot of other contaminants in there and your risk of skin infections is obviously higher. So it's probably just a combination of some other contaminants, maybe in things like heroin, and then the function of IV drug use. But there have been no documented cases in the United States of crocodile as of today.
But it is still something to worry about because clearly if it's out there, it could very easily find its way.
It's always possible. And we know that what we learn a lot about drugs of abuse really sometimes start in Europe and then infiltrate over here in the United States. So I think it's possible. I do think, though, it's a bit unlikely just because of the access of other medications here and other illicit drugs.
So we've got enough of our own stuff, is what you're saying.
I think it's certainly possible, but I still think that because we have a lot of heroin here in the United States, unfortunately, I think that the likelihood of seeing crocodile is probably lower.
Do you think there's been an increase in the use of heroin on the street in our region?
There absolutely has been an increase in heroin use in upstate New York, and I think that that also is consistent across the country as well.
Why do you think?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why. Probably one of the biggest reasons is a lot of people have become addicted to prescription opioids for various reasons. And it's now becoming more difficult to get prescription opioids. And then that will lead to, if you don't have your prescription opioid or you're addicted to prescription opioids, you potentially then can move on to heroin.
So kind of those are gateways to the use of heroin, you think?
I'm not sure if it's, I mean, I suppose it probably could be considered a gateway. I think it's really more of just decreasing access to prescription opioids and now using other alternatives. And heroin is a very common alternative.
I remember hearing not too long ago that actually whoever it is that's trafficking in heroin is making it less expensive, and it seems to be therefore less expensive than a lot of other drugs, that it seems to therefore be infiltrating even into the so-called suburbs, not necessarily inner city.
Absolutely. Heroin, people generally tend to think about heroin as being inner city drug, and I think that in the past several years, it really has now become more of across the board of people using heroin. So I certainly do think we have an increased amount of heroin in upstate New York, and national trends confirm that also.
And it remains very highly addictive and
highly addictive and also very, very dangerous as well.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Gina Marafa. She's a clinical toxicologist for the Upstate New York Poison Center, and we're talking about the various toxic street drugs in circulation right now. So at the Poison Center, you see the results of overdoses of all kinds of street drugs. I mean, you're quite up to date. So what else are you seeing? Tell us what else is coming through your door, so to speak.
So in the past 1 to 2 years, in addition to opioids and prescription opioids, what we've also been seeing, and on a significant level, is these new synthetic designer drugs. The first class of these drugs people probably are well familiar with, called quote-unquote bath salts. And now we've just seen derivatives of these synthetic amphetamines, synthetic designer drugs, and really have been increasing over the past 1 to 2 years. And that's a large number of cases that we see, in addition to drugs that are, they're called, they're synthetic marijuana, so, or spice, or herbal incense, other name slang terms for that, but those are also increasingly popular.
And those are also been available, at least at one point, things like bath salts were being promoted on the internet, kind of, I would say covertly, but rather in the open.
Absolutely. And in the past 2 years, particularly in the, probably 2 years ago, there was, because these drugs were essentially legal, a lot of people were able to buy them and sell them as well. And there's been quite a lot of strides both on and local government, state government, and federal government to ban these substances. But unfortunately, it really is a continuous work in progress because there's just new substances being developed. And that's really what we're seeing now is not the quote-unquote bath salts, but other designer-type amphetamines.
Derivatives.
And synthetic drugs like Molly is a good example of something that's very popular use right now in 2013.
How about things like we were talking before about prescription opioids, okay? That means that people have been taking these. Often they're given the prescription for a good reason. They've had an injury or they have terrible back problems or something, and they become addicted. But beyond their own use, there's a danger, it seems to me, that often kids get a hold of these drugs. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So prescription opioids are increasingly common. And actually, the deaths due to unintentional poisoning deaths, particularly due to opioids, is the second leading cause of death in the United States right now. Yeah. So it's very concerning and really is an epidemic. And
let me just stop you for a minute. When you say deaths as a result of it, is it because you say accidentally take an overdose of this particular type of drug?
Correct.
And is it therefore not just to kill their pain, but because it gets them high?
Well, it's probably a combination of both. So a lot of patients that are taking a lot of opioids, initially they as you already alluded to, they get their first prescription for pain, and then subsequently to that have, there's two different patients, the one that really are on it for long-term pain, and then the people that receive these prescriptions and then become addicted and then continuously be on them.
And don't they become less sensitive to the drug, so they need increasing doses of it to be able to get the same result?
Exactly.
Therefore, they could overdose.
Overdose very easily, actually. So it's a concerning statistic to think that poisoning deaths in prescription opioids are causing such amount of, wow, of fatalities in this country. And what we do know is that particularly teenagers and other populations that we know are tend to try to experiment with things, they, if you ask them, they get their prescription opioids from a friend or a relative. So they're not buying these substances on the street. They're getting them from a friend or a relative. So leftover prescriptions in the medicine cabinet, leftover prescriptions from a procedure where you have 30 pills, that oftentimes is the more likely scenario, particularly where a child or a teenager can have their first exposure to these substances.
So what efforts are currently being made right here in New York State to decrease, you know, the use of these drugs?
So there have been a lot of efforts, New York State and federally as well, to decrease the availability and access of prescription opioids. The probably the more recent and probably the most significant legislation, it's called iStop in New York State, and that really has changed and hopefully will decrease the access to prescription opioids.
So doctors have to go online, check whether this person has had a prescription filled most recently,
correct,
elsewhere before they go ahead and give a prescription. And I think it's...
And pharmacists have to check as well.
Right. So there is some effort. So overall, in the little bit of time we have left, what do you think needs to be done to protect especially our teens from gaining access to these drugs? I know that I've heard of things like farm parties where, mm-hmm, kids will just come with all of the prescription drugs that they've garnered from their homes or from relatives, throw them in the middle of a pile, and then everybody just takes whatever it is they take and they mix things, you know, willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we need to do?
I think we need a multifaceted approach. Education, so parents being educated that these medicines in their house are dangerous.
So they should lock them up for
Lock them up, return them on when you have prescription take-back days. Parents need to educate their kids of the risks of these. Kids need to know of the dangers of these. And then all of the other approaches of healthcare provider education of the risks and the dangers, and really, and then the other issues of legislation and making at least some strides to make it easier to return these drugs when you don't need them anymore. And so I really think it's a multifaceted approach.
And also it strikes me that there need to be programs to help people get off them if they're addicted.
Well, and that's exactly
anti-addiction,
right?
Anti-addiction programs.
Exactly. And we have a lot of great programs here in Syracuse. And they're inundated with patients also. So to continue recognizing that those services exist out there and to provide those services to people that need help.
Well, such important information. Hopefully people will get the message that if they're addicted, get help. And if they have those drugs around, lock them up and talk to your kids and explain what the dangers are. Well, my guest has been Gina Marafa. She's associate professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at Upstate Medical University and a clinical toxicologist for Upstate's New York Poison Center. Gina, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Linda Cohen, and this is Upstate's HealthLink on Air.